90s mood right now. I'm in a 90s mood right now.
I'm on a honey dip.
That's what we used to call them, honey dips. Man, how y'all doing, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing a late night show, man. I've been busy making stuff happen for the family, but I'm here for you. We're going to chop up some good game tonight. Today's show is late. I had to go see an early screening of the Planet of the Apes movie because I wanted to chop up some game about that with you, and we're going to do that in a minute. What I want y'all to do, write this phone number down where y'all can call me, 818-850-5404. That is the hotline to call me to chop up game, and we're going to get right into the ism, the game, right after this quick commercial break right here on Tariq Radio. Don't y'all move a muscle, family.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's AshKicking.com. Yo, check out comedian Rico Suave on his brand new YouTube channel called The Opinion Junkie, folks. And he's broadcasting from New Orleans, where he gives his comedic take on today's pop culture and things like viral videos, music, and current events and everything else. So you need to go to his YouTube channel right now and subscribe. That's The Opinion Junkie on YouTube by comedian Rico Suave. Check it out right now, folks. Yo, do you want to take your life to the next level? If so, check out this brand new ebook called The Ultimate Guide to Setting Effective Goals. Now, throughout this detailed ebook, you will receive 16 proven goal-setting templates that will help you achieve your personal, fitness, and financial goals. And you'll learn how to get rid of limiting beliefs that hold you back from success. So you need to go right now to goalsettinghabits.com. Again, family, that's goalsettinghabits.com. What's up, family? You know it's time to get your Second Amendment game in order, and you need to check out one of the most well-respected black-owned gun stores / consultants in the United States, Redstone Firearms. Not only can you purchase guns from them, they also offer consulting, educating, and training about your weapons. They will also give you a lot of good game on gun laws and so much more. You guys need to go right now to RedstoneFirearms.com. That's RedstoneFirearms.com. Also, follow them on Instagram at Redstone Firearms and follow them on Facebook at Redstone Firearms.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Oh, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in for the late night show. Ready to chop up some good game as we always do. Hope you guys have your hidden colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs. You can get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget to check out the 1804 website, 1804movie.com. We're getting that popping. We're getting the movie cracking. It's looking great so far. That movie has taken a lot of time to perfect and make look crisp. But you guys are going to really love that movie when it comes out, man. People are very excited about it. And it's just going to be a huge thing. Shout out to everybody in Jamaica. I'm going to be in Jamaica. They're bringing me down there for the Marcus Garvey Festival in the middle of August. I look forward to being with the Jamaican family down there. We're going to be chopping it up, and they're going to be doing some screenings of Hidden Colors for a long time. They're going to be starting actually next week and playing screenings all over the country of Jamaica until I get there. So we're going to have a great time. And I've been to Ultra Reels before, and I'm going to go back, and I'm taking the family. We're going to have a great time down there and all that good stuff, family. We're having the backpack giveaway. We're still doing that. I got all the backpacks. I'm going to show you when I go to my office tomorrow. I'm going to take some photos of all the backpacks. I got like just tons of them. We're going to have the drive in Atlanta. It's going to be at the Nubian Bookstore. It's going to be in Chicago. It's going to be at the Culture Connection in Chicago. We're still having trouble finding a place out here in LA, a facility to have the drive to give away the backpacks. We're still having trouble because there's really not a black community out here no more. You don't really have too many black-owned businesses. It's just not that's known. Like, you know, certain places, Atlanta, Chicago, you know the Nubian Bookstore, you know Culture Connection in Chicago, there's certain places that are known, but we don't really have that out here in LA no more, man. LA, black folks are just all over the place out here. You know, they've gentrified black folks all the way out to Lancaster, Riverside, Fontana. So down there in like the Crenshaw area, man, that shit is dry for us. Inglewood is dry. It's a real trippy state out here for black folks, man. So I might, if we don't find a place out here in LA, the third place we're going to have the drive will probably be either New York or DC. I know there's some places out there that we can just give. We're giving away free shit, basically. Damn. So push come to shove, I'll just do it in DC somewhere and hook up with one of the bookstores out there and they'll get it cracking. You dig? But I will keep people posted on that. I will let y'all know the deal. I will let y'all know what's cracking with that, ladies and gentlemen. And y'all can contribute to the fundraiser if you go to my Twitter page at Tariq Nasheed, TariqNasheed, and look at my profile. You can click that GoFundMe link for the backpack giveaway, because a lot of people wanted to know how to contribute to it. And also, if you're on my Facebook, I put the link up on my Facebook page. Somebody said Harlem is white now. That's absolutely true. So we're still looking, man. I keep people posted on what's going on with that. Now, a lot of people are asking about my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel, my main one, I have a couple, but my main one, which had almost 100,000 followers, that was taken down by the white supremacists. The white supremacists, it was a bunch of alt-lice dudes over there at 4chan, and they all got together and targeted my page. And what's interesting, they targeted a couple of other prominent black people on Twitter. They got this one brother who talks about real estate advice and investing. He hollered at me on Twitter. They got his page. I think they banned him for a few weeks or something like that. And Professor Black Truth, who puts out a lot of brilliant videos, they got him. They tagged his page. They did a swooping hit on his page. And I think he's banned for a couple of weeks. Now, they took my page down. They just kept arbitrarily flagging videos. What happens is you get these white supremacists on either 4chan or Reddit, and they just have little flagging campaigns. It's a bunch of them get together and they say, okay, we're going to flag this page over and over again until it gets down. So they did that on YouTube. And the fact that YouTube would even allow that, you know, they're allowing the white supremacists to run amok. You got white supremacists on YouTube who say all types of vile shit about black people, and they let them just get subscribers into the millions Oh, yeah, they let them get subscribers into the millions. And just let their racist bullshit stay up. Without any problem. One of the most popular guys on YouTube, this dude, Philly D, Philip DeFranco, who trolls me a lot. I put up one of his old videos on my Twitter, one of his old videos of his anti-black quote-unquote jokes. It ain't really jokes, it's his racial rhetoric, and he's been trying to explain that shit. Let me play a clip of Philly D, Philip DeFranco. He's this suspected racist troll. Well, if you listen to this, I don't think you'll suspect him anymore, but there's other videos that I posted of him putting the cape on for alt-right people like Milo and Richard Spencer and making excuses for their white supremacist bullshit. So this is him before he knew how to codify his racial bullshit, because he tweeted today, yeah, people are trying to post old videos of me. I was inexperienced. This was years ago. I changed my views. Meaning, basically, he learned how to code his racial bullshit. But this is Philly D, a very popular YouTuber who has millions of subscribers. And this is one of his old videos.
But really, I think the only guy that liked Meet the Spartans was the obnoxiously loud black guy right behind me. And hey, that's not a racist joke, you know? You're going to go to the movie theater like 3 years from now and be like, God damn it, Phil was right. Those black people are really loud, and that's not racist, okay? A lot of people say, Phil, you're racist to black people. I'm not. I'm like a black guy. I also like chicken playing basketball.
Oh, shit. Hold on. What? I cut it. Hold on. Let me play the rest. Hold on. I made a mistake and cut it off. Hold on.
Later, like 3 years from now and be like, God damn it, Phil was right. Those black people are really loud, and that's not racist, okay? A lot of people say, Phil, you're racist to black people. I'm not. I'm like a black guy. I also like chicken, playing basketball, banging white chicks, and collecting welfare. Racism.
Okay, so that's his... Okay, and I played this, and I posted it on my Twitter, and all the white supremacist caping crew, like, oh, this is old. What's the context to it? The context? No context, just a unfunny, corny, dangerously racist, stereotypical bullshit ass joke. What? No context to it. And he was talking about something else, and then he just kind of crowbarred that in there just out the blue. I'm like, okay, there is no context. He just, okay, that's pretty goddamn racist. Welfare. And what's interesting, when people start talking that welfare shit, remember what I told you guys. Dangerous white supremacist politics always start off as jokes at first. The Klan started off as a joke at first. Jim Crow started off as a joke at first, and then they turned it into a policy. And see, these dudes make these welfare jokes and all that, and that's supposed to be funny. You just had a representative from Iowa, Representative Steve King, and look him up. I mean, he's full of racist rhetoric. I mean, his anti-black white supremacist rhetoric is just blatant. And this guy's a lawmaker, and he was putting a proposal for a law out there that will get money from welfare recipients. They're using all of that codified language, talking about welfare recipients and food stamps and Planned Parenthood. All of those are code words. That's that Lee Atwater stuff. It's this guy, this conservative back in the 80s. He did this interview, this very infamous interview, where he talked about how in order to get that racist white vote, you got to start using code words. And I mean, this is an audio of him saying this. He said, look, back in the 60s and the 50s, you know, you could say nigga. That'll hurt you. You can't do that no more. So you got to use code words like forced busing and welfare and taxes. And he said all of that means basically to the mind of the white supremacists is that black people are going to get hurt more than whites. Those were his words. So it's all about codifying their white supremacist bullshit. You dig? So that's what they have on YouTube. They let all types of white supremacists and suspected white supremacists and suspected racists say whatever. So what I'm doing, you know, I got, you know, several other pages on there. But now that Twitter is basically doing what Facebook is doing, which is silencing black voices, because again, I know several black people whose pages are getting banned or scrutinized or taken down, and it's really happening mostly to black people. You know, we got to start thinking of our alternatives. What I want to do, I want to do a page, just like I have at Tariq Live. I want to do a page where I do videos live. I can stream videos live and store the videos and post them up and just do it like that. And I can direct people from YouTube to that. And I need to brainstorm with a lot of web guys. I want to brainstorm with several cats. I've been chopping it up with one or two dudes, but I need a lot of people to throw some input to me on how to do this thing right, and so I can do it inexpensively. I don't want to pay an arm and a leg to do this shit, but I want to do it fly so it can be our own thing, where I can just chop it up without the white supremacists coming in there flagging stuff, so that, you know, it's time. It's just time to do it like that. Yeah, we're still working on, and that's another thing. I need some other cats, too, to help me brainstorm with more us, some web guys who are thorough, who know what the fuck they're doing, not just people just jumping in the mix saying shit just to be saying it. I need some thorough people who can think tank with me on how to get more us popping. I need some web dudes to hit me up so we can really chop up game on how to do this thing correctly. You dig? Man, you say Cunty was talking with... Okay, certain people I don't know. And Cunty, basically, he's going to keep talking about me because that's the only way he can get the white supremacists from calling him all types of derogatory sand Negro names. That's the only way he can do that. So he has to talk about me, because if he stops talking about me, his friends are going to go back to calling him a nigga. You dig? So he has to talk about me, because I've seen videos of his quote-unquote white friends calling him nigga, and he's sitting there giggling about it, looking embarrassed and stupid. So if he keeps talking about me, that'll deflect. That's why, and I don't even listen to the dude, period. I don't look at his page. But again, his life revolves around being my little bitch and talking about me everywhere he goes, so he can get fake views from these white supremacists who can't wait to call him a nigga. You dig? So email me. Y'all know my email. Some certain guys in the tech game who know how to get pages popping, y'all hit me up so we can chop up game and brainstorm on how to do this thing the right way. Now, have you guys seen the whole Floyd Mayweather-McGregor press conferences? That's some funny stuff, man. I want to check the fight out. That's going to be very interesting. You know, Conor McGregor is doing the whole, he's playing the whole racial thing up, saying a lot of racially derogatory stuff. And they already know, look, we're in a damn Nazi system at this point. We're damn near, you know, we're back in a Nazi system. So that's just going to build your base up even more. And with McGregor, he's the great white hope. And this whole fight is completely racially based. I mean, they're cheering McGregor, they're booing Floyd Mayweather, which they always do, because again, they've always hated black champions. They wait till they're old or feeble and then start kind of giving them props. But let me say this, and I've said this before, with the Floyd Mayweather fight, if Floyd don't knock that dude out, if McGregor goes all 12 rounds, no matter how badly Floyd beats him, they're going to use the I'm white and I say so rule. They're going to let McGregor win no matter how badly he gets beaten. They're going to use the I'm white and I say so rule. If Floyd don't knock him out, Floyd has to literally knock him out in order to win. It doesn't matter how many punches Floyd gets in. It don't matter if McGregor has two black eyes and a busted nose or nothing. If McGregor is still standing at that 12th round, they're going to get that shit to McGregor. Because, you know, this is Floyd's last bout. So they're going to force an L on Floyd Mayweather if they can. They are going to force an L on Mayweather. Somebody in the chat room said they did that with Pacquiao. They absolutely did that with Pacquiao. Pacquiao beat that dude, and they still gave it to the dude.
Pacquiao just had to sit there. Okay, I didn't expect any decision. He had to just eat that. But that's going to be an interesting fight. And I know something happened out at the Barclays Center where there was some kind of, was it a press conference? What was something going on with the Floyd Mayweather-McGregor thing? And they had Dougie Fresh perform, and the audience was mad dead. They had Dougie Fresh perform, and the audience was dead as shit. Dougie Fresh was trying to hype the audience up, and I'm like, that ain't gonna work because that's not the right crowd. You got a whole bunch of suspected white supremacist McGregor fans. So Dougie Fresh coming out there, that's not their audience at all. That's not the right audience. People don't know how important this is to the white supremacists. They need a great white hope. And let me say this, after this fight, if this thing goes Floyd's way, black people are going to have to be careful. They'll Jack Johnson everybody. Like back in the day when the black fighter Jack Johnson would win fights, the white supremacists would put so much hope on the white fighter. And to see that white fighter get beaten, the white supremacists would go out in the streets and start lynching random black people after Jack Johnson fights. That's how butthurt they were and racially insecure. They would go out lynching people because of a damn fight. Because their fighter lost, they would go out and lynch people. You dig? So black folks, be careful with this thing. Now, anyway, let me get on to some game of what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about the brand new movie, Planet of the Apes. It's a brand new movie. It's coming out tomorrow. I actually saw it tonight. It is War for the Planet of the Apes. And it was a good movie. I'm not going to shit on the movie. It was a good movie. Nice special effects. It's a decent movie. Good movie. I would suggest that you go see it. And definitely go see it for the racial allegories to the movie. Black people need to go see it with your eyes wide open. Your antennas need to be all the way open. Your antennas need to be all the way open, family. This movie is a heavy one. And first of all, you got to look at the poster. Now, I want y'all to go Google the poster right now. If you have not seen the poster, check the poster out. And we talk about that poster first. Now, the poster is really a play on Black Lives Matter. If you look at the poster, it's a play on Black Lives Matter. And I tweeted this the other day, and the tweet went viral. And in a poster, you see a bunch of black apes with spears, okay? There's one ape with a blue vest on out of all the other apes who are black with spears. On the other side, you have a bunch of white dudes with military gear on, with riot gear on, basically. So it looks like some of the riots that we've seen. Now, in the movie, this scene wasn't in the movie. They didn't have a scene where there was a bunch of apes going up against a bunch of riot cops or whatever. It wasn't no toe-to-toe thing like that. But this movie poster played on the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, and it went so far to have the one monkey with the blue vest, and that's supposed to represent D-Ray. On the poster, you have other apes mixed in as collaborators with the white soldiers, the riot cops. On one of the hats of the white soldiers, and I'm looking at the poster. I want y'all to look at the poster and read this with me. On the poster, one of the white riot cops has a hat on that, or a helmet on that says, "The only good ape is a dead ape." Now, for context, that's the saying that they used to say about black people. I think even Mark Furman, y'all remember Mark Furman from the OJ trial? I think he actually said the only good nigga is a dead nigga. And the white supremacists, they kind of interchange the victim. Sometimes they'll say the only good Indian is a dead Indian. But usually it's the only good nigga is a dead nigga. And they got the only good ape is a dead ape. So they're being very blatant with the allegory here. Now on this poster, you see the main ape. He's on a horse and there's two other apes on horses. And if you look closely, there's a little white girl sitting on the horse with Caesar, the main ape. She's looking from over his shoulder. And I'll get on her in a minute as far as the movie. But I tweeted that this is kind of an allegory to Black Lives Matter. And that tweet went viral. And D-Ray actually jumped on it. And he said he made a statement about him being portrayed as an ape, because that's what it is. That's supposed to be him. Let's not make no doubt about that. Because riots and protests and all that stuff, that's really big. That's in the media right now. And that was a good marketing ploy. They wanted to get that visual there. That's exactly what they did. But when I tweeted that and it started to go viral, everybody caught on to it. Then D-Ray says something about it. Then the mainstream media start talking about, oh, that's preposterous. Oh, that's just ridiculous. This is not has nothing to do with D-Ray. Then they made up this bullshit-ass connection with the old Planet of the Apes. Some of the apes had on vests, and one of the vests was blue, but that's such a weak-ass reach. Because if that's the case, why is it that only one ape has on a blue vest? And for those who don't know, D-Ray, he's an activist. They say he's a Black Lives Matter leader, but he's not. He's not the leader of Black Lives Matter at all. That's bullshit. But D-Ray is known for having a trademark blue vest on at protest. Now, it was my conjecture. That was a way for law enforcement to be able to identify him. But that's just my conjecture. But that's his trademark look, this blue vest. So this is not a coincidence, family. So, of course, the right wingers and the alt-lice and all of these people. Oh, no, you know, the racism deniers. Because understand, in the system of white supremacy, the new rule is to deny white supremacy at all costs. Anything about white supremacy, you're supposed to deny it no matter how much evidence is there. Deny, 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 deny. You got to deny it at all costs. That's the name of the game. So a lot of people, and they were throwing my name in the mix. Oh, Tariq is just full of shit. You're race baiting, Tariq. You are race baiting, Tariq. That's a bunch of bullshit. You'll see race in everything, Tariq. Blah, 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 blah. And the thing is, people like Whoopi Goldberg jumped in the mix. And I like Whoopi, but Whoopi was, she put the tap shoes on a little bit. Whoopi put the tap shoes on a little bit. Let me see if I can play a clip of Whoopi on The View. Okay, Whoopi, Whoopi's kind of earning some butter biscuits on this one, family. Now, this is Whoopi talking about the whole controversy about the poster. This is Whoopi Goldberg.
See, war for the Planet of the Apes. You know, the new Planet of the Apes movie, I'm seeing that today, as a matter of fact.
You are?
Yes, I am.
I'm so jealous.
I know you are.
You could go, too.
You could go.
Oh, is it in the theater?
Okay. No, it's not in the theater, but I'll take you if you want to go.
Thank you, Whoopi.
But there's already controversy. It's insane. Yeah. Prominent Black Lives Matter activist DeRay McKesson accused filmmakers of personally mocking him by dressing up an ape in a blue vest, which he's been known to wear. DeRay. You need to go back and watch the 1968 original and check out what the apes were wearing.
Oh,
this has nothing to do with you.
And the vest don't even look the same as the one in the new one. The vests don't even look the same. All in the old one, you got a whole army of the apes wearing different color vests. So that there ain't no correlation to the vest back then and this one ape wearing a damn blue vest. There's just no correlation whatsoever. But check it.
This is a movie that was about what happens when mankind doesn't pay attention to environment, to how we treat animals and each other. That's what that movie was about. And at the end of the movie, when they're riding around and you realize it's here.
And they love that. When the audience, the white women in the audience, oh, they're just eating it up. You go, Whoopi. We're going to throw you a butter biscuit. Oh, they're just clapping their asses off when they get a black person making excuses for blatant white supremacy propaganda. That's all it is. And I'm not, don't be surprised. I'm not saying whatever. It's just, you know, it's white supremacist propaganda. That's what they do. Nobody's making it up. But whenever somebody's making excuses for some white supremacist propaganda and you get a black person, oh, they'll butter those biscuits up for you.
That's what the movie was about. Get over yourself.
Yeah. I know DeRay, and I think he's
well,
done.
Well, tell him I said.
I will. I will.
I think he's going to find
you
out.
I think he's this done is, incredible work.
This is another black lady, the light-skinned black lady. I don't know what her name is. What's her name? What's the light-skinned black lady? I smell some bed wenching. I don't know this lady, but I don't know. Let me see what she has to say. Just the
As a social activist,
yeah.
And I'm still confused as to what his tweets actually meant. They've been taken down. I wasn't sure if
D-Ray,
he was related.
And D-Ray took his tweet down. I guess they punked him out to the point where he took the damn tweet down. But I brought receipts, so they backed the fuck up off me. People couldn't say shit to me because I brought receipts. I don't just be saying shit without no damn receipts. But hold on.
Was y'all are here it is. Look, yeah. Turn around.
Yeah.
Okay.
But is it possible?
No, it's not.
So it's not.
You know what? No, it's not. And don't play that with this movie. That's not what this movie was about. It's about.
I mean, is it possible that he perhaps meant something else?
Like what?
What does he not? Does he not speak it?
The coons come out at night. The coons come out at night.
Huh, huh, huh,
the coons come out at night.
The coons come out.
The coons come out at night.
Huh, huh, huh,
the coons come out at night.
Come on.
The coons come out at night.
Huh, huh,
the
coons come
out at night.
The coons come out. I had to jam
the coons
that
for a
minute. Well, Whoopi was earning them biscuits, man. God damn, Whoopi. So, no, it ain't no possibility. No. Whoopi was really defending that bullshit. Let me tell y'all something. Because y'all know Mr. Tariq Nasheed bring receipts. Not only was that shit about race in that poster, it was about Black Lives Matter, and they were low-key clowning D-Ray and all black people with spears and all that old shit. Because the apes are supposed to be all in the movie, supposed to be ultra intelligent and sophisticated. They got spears and come on, dude. And people want to talk about the old Planet of the Apes. Well, in the old Planet of the Apes, they had this and that. Well, guess what? The old Planet of the Apes was all about race because the people who made it said so. And some of those, and there were early installments of Planet of the Apes. It started in 1968, but there were several in the early 70s. And do you know, in some of the early Planet of the Apes movies, the writers and directors said that that movie was about race. They said it. Let me give you some receipts. Let me give you some damn receipts. In one of the Planet of the Apes sequels, this was in 1972, I think it was called Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. The director's name was J. Lee Thompson. Now, this is a quote from a book written about the film, and this was a quote from J. Lee Thompson. This is the director of the film. And let me give y'all the name of some of these books so y'all can look up receipts. There's a book called, you can get it on Amazon, called Planet of the Apes as American Myth, Race, Politics, and Popular Culture. Check that out. That's the book you can get. It was written a couple of decades ago by a dude named Eric Green. And there's articles and all types of stuff that you can look up. But this is Jay Thompson, who directed one of the early Planet of the Apes in the early 70s. This is what he said. Thompson said, I was riveted to my television during the 1965 riots. I felt the mayhem that I saw on television could be a precursor to a larger race war. And I felt it was important to depict the rage that exploded in the Watts riots. Now, this is the damn director of one of the original Planet of the Apes. He's saying he was looking at the damn Watts riots and he got the idea, hey, let me do an allegory with the Planet of the Apes with this shit. And even Rod Sterling, who wrote the original screenplay for the first Planet of the Apes movie, because it was adapted from a book written in 1973 by a French dude. But understand, screenplays and books are totally different. When you get a book, you get a screenplay, you base a screenplay on the book. So Rod Serling, who's a brilliant writer, he used to write all the Twilight Zone movies. Or not movies, but TV shows. Even he wanted to have an allegory to the civil rights movement, because he was a Jewish guy and he talked about how he faced discrimination growing up as a Jewish guy. So he wanted to have that allegory of what it was to be discriminated against and kind of flip it and have a white person as the guy being discriminated against. He wanted to flip it and make it in a different thing. So it was always a racial element there. Another guy who wrote Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. I'm bringing all the damn receipts right now, family. This is called receipts. Because y'all can Google and look the shit up that I'm saying. A guy named Paul Dehn. The last name, D-E-H-N. Now, this was one of the writers of one of the original Planet of the Apes movies. Now, this dude took it a step further. Now, remember, these dudes are from the 1960s and 70s when they were kind of open. They didn't really have to codify a lot of racial shit. They would just say it. Now, this is a quote from this book. It says, Conquest screenwriter Paul Dehn commented in an interview, it's a very curious thing that the Ape series has always been tremendously popular with Negroes who identify themselves with the apes. They are black power just like the apes are ape power, and they enjoy it greatly. This is the dude who wrote one of the original Planet of the Apes. He actually equated black people with the apes in his own fucking words. So don't let nobody try to run that bullshit that it ain't got nothing to do about race. The early writers of this shit completely made it about race. And I'm giving you receipts, not none of that I'm white and I say so shit. These are receipts. You can go look these up. They were adamant about this thing being about race. And this movie is 100% about race. Don't let nobody lie to you. I saw it. And let me break some of the shit down in the movie. And great special effects, by the way. And shout out the homie. He did some promotion and he told me he went overseas. And he kind of gave me the heads up on some of the bullshit that was going on behind the scenes, too. But so the movie starts, I'm looking at the movie, and understand, in the system of white supremacy, everything the white supremacists do is to maintain white supremacy and to give each other codes. They do, everything is weaponized and everything is used as a form of warfare, okay? Everything by the white supremacists is used as a form of warfare. So they will try to shame black people into not seeing messages into shit, and they will catch messages left and right. They go to movies to learn messages from each other. They want us to go into a movie blind and dumb. Because when you go into a movie blind and dumb and just sitting there taking it, that means you're going to be brainwashed. Movies are used as propaganda, so you better go in there with the right mindset and know how to filter what's being shown to you. And understand the reason why it's being shown. You always have to have your third eye open, family. Now, in the movie, the concept was the humans, and the humans, that's a code word for white people. Okay? The humans, that's always code word for white people. The humans are becoming a minority and they're dying off. And the apes, they've learned how to become intelligent and they're growing, and now there's a war for there's a small group of quote unquote humans, meaning whites, trying to fight for their survival. Now, what does that sound like? What does that sound like? That sounds like all this talk we've been hearing about white genocide, the white birth rate being down, natural decrease. We've been hearing a lot of stories like that in the news about how white people are decreasing in numbers. We've been hearing a lot of that in the media. So this was an allegory to that. The Brexit, the European struggle, genetics, these politicians talking about Camp of the Saints, promoting books like Camp of the Saints, which is a book about black genocide and putting black folks in camps. Understand now what's going on and how it correlates to these movies. Don't go in these movies dumb. You better have that third eye wide open. So remember, the movie is about a small group of whites trying to survive in a planet of apes, and there's some kind of mysterious disease that's making whites primitive, or making the humans primitive, but it's making the apes more intelligent. So the movie starts, the rebel apes are in the forest, and you have these armies of humans going around hunting the rebel apes. And what's funny as shit, you had a bunch of coon apes working with the white humans. That was the, I'm in the theater about to fall out laughing. You had coon apes. The coon apes had the word donkey written on their back. Instead of monkey, I guess they were calling them donkeys. So the coon apes had donkey on their backs. They were assisting the white humans to find the monkeys, the other monkeys. And another thing, the coon apes had brands on their faces. They were branded like fucking slaves. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, nigga, and the coon apes were hilarious. They're like, over there. And they were pointing out the other monkeys. Oh, it was hilarious. If that ain't about some black shit, dude. Oh, man, it had the Sheriff Clarks. Oh, it was funny. So the humans and the coon apes were hunting down the rebel monkeys. And in the early scene, there was one white soldier who had a helmet on, and it had monkey killer. So all the little codes, you know, something like nigger killer, all these codes are just very blatant at this point. So they're fighting the monkeys, and the monkeys trying, they want peace. They're like, hey, we just want peace. And then they end up, I don't want to get too many spoilers, by the way, either. So I'm going to try to, I'm going to give a few spoilers, but I don't want to give too many spoilers. So the main character, Caesar, his family got killed by the leader of the humans, which is Woody Harrelson. All right. So Woody Harrelson is the leader of the humans. So now Caesar, the monkey, he wants to, you know, he's the leader of the rebel monkey. So he wants to get revenge. So he's going out trying to find Woody Harrelson character. And some of his people help him find the Woody Harrelson character. So they find this little white girl who's kind of mute. There's a little white girl that they find, and the white girl is siding with them. And I'm going to get on that in a minute. I'm going to get on the white girl and the allegory to that in a minute. So this little mute white girl is rolling with the monkeys. So they find this human encampment where they keep monkeys enslaved. So when Caesar shows up to the human encampment, outside there's a bunch of fucking monkeys who've been lynched. I'm not making this shit up. There's monkeys that's on wooden stakes. A bunch of them are like hanging on wooden stakes. They're all stretched out and hanging. The stakes are like crucifixes, and they're like lynched outside of the human in camp. I'm like, okay. So the Caesar monkey, he sees all these lynched monkeys. Oh, yeah, somebody in the chat room said lynched. Yes, they're lynched. They're on wood. They're all hanging on wood. Dude, y'all got to see this shit if y'all think I'm making it up. So they're lynched on wood, which is just another coincidence. It's all a coincidence, according to the white supremacists. So Caesar ends up getting captured by the humans in this human encampment. Now, nigga, they put him in cages. This encampment looks like Auschwitz. It looks like a damn Nazi concentration camp. Literally, it's snowing. They got it snowing, and all the monkeys are in these prison camps, and they're forced to work. So they're in these concentration camps. I'm not making none of this shit up. Oh, but this is all a coincidence, though. All of this shit is just, it ain't got nothing to do with race. It's just a big fucking coincidence. So they're in concentration camps, in these cages, and there's, look like incinerators, and I mean, Nazi shit. It looked like Schindler's List. And then, while they're in these camps, the human troops come marching in like Nazi soldiers in formation, doing chants. And nigga, the Woody Harrelson character, while they're doing these chants and there's an American flag with like an alpha and omega sign on it that kind of is supposed to be an allegory to the Nazi symbol. So they're doing these chants and the leader comes out, Woody Harrelson. He comes out on the balcony. You know how like those old images of Hitler when people and the soldiers are giving him the salute and then Hitler comes out on the balcony and waves or whatever. So the soldiers are on the bottom. Woody Harrelson comes out with shaving cream on his head and a razor. He's coming out shaving his head because his head is bald in the movie. So he comes out while they're doing this whole little Nazi-style salute marching thing. Woody Harrelson is shaving his head. And they made a point to show that he's shaving his head. He's just not bald just by circumstance. He's shaving his head bald. So to me, that makes it seem like he's like a skinhead. He's deliberately shaving his head. So now he's supposed to be a de facto skinhead. So he's shaved his head. They're on some Nazi salute shit. They're making the monkeys work and pick up rocks. And the monkeys are complaining they don't have any food. They don't have any water. Then the monkeys who were complaining and getting out of line, they start pulling out whips and whipping the monkeys. They whipping them like slaves. Dude. Oh, but that's just another coincidence, though, all right? So all the monkeys who got out of line, they're like whipping them like goddamn slaves. I'm like, okay, oh, yeah, this is, oh, yeah. Anybody think this is racial? Oh, you just reaching. Oh, you just race baiting if you think any of this has anything to do with race at all. Nigga, they're whipping the motherfuckers like slaves. And there was a scene earlier where they caught one of the coon monkeys. They caught one of the coons, and they were like, why'd you? Now, some of the monkeys talk, and some of them do sign language. And one monkey who told the humans where Caesar's family was, he helped get Caesar's family killed. I swear this monkey was bucking his fucking eyes. You're like, why'd you tell him where my family was? His lips was perched out. His eyes was bucking. I thought it was going to be like, gotta get that body count down. I'm in the theater about to choke on my fucking popcorn looking at the coon monkeys bucking their eyes. Then they end up killing one of the coon monkeys. I'm like, this is a hilarious some shit right here. So, and again, I'm not trying to give out too many spoilers. But check this out, though. What's funny, they're in these concentration camps and they're moving rocks. And I think the Caesar character said, What are we doing this for? What are we working to do? They were like, one of the other monkeys said, we're working to build a wall. We gotta build a wall. I'm like, okay. It's that Donald Trump build that wall shit. Oh, that's another coincidence that they're being forced to build a wall. I mean, so it's all types of crazy allegories in this thing. So the monkeys are building a wall. They're being whipped like slaves. They're being branded like slaves. And the disease, I think it attacked Woody. I don't want to get too much up. I don't want to give a spoiler up. I don't want to get no spoiler up. But Woody Harrelson, he gave this real interesting speech. in the middle of the movie, he talked about, yeah, well, you know, the reason I'm doing this is because, look, we're dying off. Our race is dying off. Our species, humans, we're dying off. And there's a disease that's spreading. And if certain people get diseases, it can spread to other people who don't have it. So we're going to have to sacrifice certain people. And Woody said, I had to sacrifice my son. I had to shoot my son because my son got that disease. And I didn't want to get it. And I didn't want it to spread. And we have to sacrifice. They kept driving this sacrifice thing home. And I want y'all to catch that stuff. They kept driving the sacrifice. We got to sacrifice certain people within our own race. We got to sacrifice them. We got to sacrifice them within our own race in order for us to survive. And Woody said something about, well, we have to sacrifice your children, saying that to the monkeys. We have to sacrifice your children so they don't grow up and dominate us. And that reminded me of so many black children being murdered by these damn race soldiers out here. See, you know, whenever you want to stop a group of people from rising up, you attack the children. But again, in the movie, it sends subliminal messages to people who think like the Woody Harrelson. See, the thing is, black folks, we're driven by morality and all that stuff. And the white supremacists, they're driven by survival. And understand, people like Dylann Roof sacrificed himself for the system of white supremacy. You see all of these white supremacists who sacrifice themselves? They'll go to jail or they'll even die to help maintain white supremacy. And also what was interesting, that sacrifice thing where they were talking about how you got to sacrifice certain people. And the white girl in the movie, to me, this is my conjecture, she was an allegory to how they are willing to sacrifice some white women to maintain white supremacy. Because see, if you look at some of these alt-right protests, and I've said this before, you got white women who are getting beat up out there. They're beating the shit up out of white women out at some of these protests. And these white supremacist males, they don't like feminism, white female feminism and all that stuff, because sometimes the white females, they try to negotiate too hard, and the white supremacist male, they want the white female to be on deck, to be 100% submissive, because they're like, look, time is of the essence. We don't have time to negotiate with you. And if push comes to shove, we will charge you, white woman, to the game. And all these white women who get a hankering for some soul pole, the Kim Kardashians of the world and all that, they're willing to charge them to the game to a certain degree. This is why those alt-right dudes, all of these dudes are into the Asian women thing. All these bell curve dudes, the dude who wrote the bell curve, Charles Murray, he was over there in Asia. Richard Spencer, all these dudes mess with Asian chicks. That's the thing. A lot of these alt-right dudes go at the Asian women because they're willing to sacrifice the white women, and the Asian thing is the next step up. The Asian women, they can still produce whitish-looking children. There's a mass number of Asian women, and the Asian women are submissive, and they will do what they're told. So a lot of the white supremacist males are going in for the Asian women over there, those hoppers, those Eastern European. That's why Donald Trump has an Eastern European wife. That woman looked like she's miserable. But the thing is, they get them to make them get on point, to get on code with them. And the white girl was the sacrifice, because the white girl was siding with the apes. And even though the apes pretty much came out on top in the movie, you know, they'll throw a little cinematic bone to you, but the message is still clear. The message is clear. We are willing to sacrifice these white women to survive. Let them hang with the niggers. In order to survive, we'll let them hang with the niggers. And look, back in Nazi Germany, the Nazis said the Asians are honorary Aryans. That's what Hitler said. Yes, he did. Somebody in the chat room mentioned that. Hitler said the Japanese in particular, they're honorary Aryans. And they still have that mentality. They're thinking in terms of survival. So go see the movie. I want y'all to go see the movie and understand the allegories that's in these movies. And they don't do these things by coincidence. They don't do them by circumstance. They are very clear. And when they do movies like this, they have an agenda. And they're trying to promote a certain level of propaganda. You dig? Anyway, y'all go see the movie this weekend. I'm going to holler at you guys. Again, some of my tech guys, my web guys, hit me up. chop up game with me, man. Let's brainstorm on how we can get more Russ and some of these other sites popping and all that good stuff. And I'm going to holla at you guys on Ustream this Sunday.